This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you. My name's Paul, and if we haven't met, love to meet you after the service. It'd be great if you could have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 4, verse 21 to 34. It was just read to us by Jason. Now, for lots of people, the parables Jesus told are favourites for them, and I know why. I mean, think about the way that parables work, right? They're meant to be persuasive stories with a punchline that just kind of hits you, boom, right? And illuminates a truth in a vivid way. They're kind of emotive literary devices, parables. But I'm going to be honest, I struggle with parables. I actually find that sometimes they're not always that easy to get to the bottom of. Lost sheep, people at banquets, mustard seeds. I mean, how do you interpret it? Well, I'm going to hopefully give you a few tips today to help you if you're the same as me. And, you know, I know I'm not alone because even in the Bible, we see people struggle to get parables. Now, on the one hand, in verse 33... it does seem that people hear them and understand them, so they are clear, so don't hear me writing off any part of the Bible as too hard to understand, no way. I think especially the main idea is always clear. But other parts of the Bible, other parts suggest that there is something tricky about them. So the disciples, they often ask for interpretations in private, and actually this is what is happening here. You remember up in verse 10, Jesus goes off with his disciples to explain the parables that he's been teaching to the crowds. And when they're there, he tells them a few more of these parables that we're going to look at today. So why does Jesus use parables with them? Well, parables reveal the secrets of the kingdom. Now, we've seen, haven't we, that Jesus came, he's come to inaugurate a new kingdom, and he wants to let his close crew in on a few secrets about what the kingdom is like. See, things have been heating up quite a bit in his ministry. There's pressure, there's opposition. But Jesus is saying, here's a few little insights about the kingdom that are going to sustain you. Things might look bad, but let me tell you what the reality is. So the first story is about a lamp on a stand. Verses 21 and 22, let's read those. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like a lamp or a light. See, the purpose of a lamp is to light up the room, isn't it? And so when it's hidden, it's not fulfilling its purpose. It's like that with the kingdom of God. See, it wouldn't be doing what it's meant to be doing if it remains hidden. Now I reckon Jesus here is maybe having a bit of a stab at the Israelites. See, back in the Old Testament, it tells us that people, that they're meant to be a light to all nations, including the Gentiles, and yet they're keeping God's word hidden under the bed, so to speak. They don't take it seriously. They don't live it out for all to see. And to hide it shows that they haven't understood it. Now, like Israel, God's people now too are to be a light to the nations. And so as a side, I actually think it's a bit of a warning here for us. See, to have the light of the gospel and to hide it is to not understand it. It's to not grasp it in full. But remember, Jesus is being positive here, and so his point is this. The kingdom of God that is now hidden, it won't be hidden forever. See, there was a sense of mystery around the kingdom. I mean, think about it, right? Jesus keeps telling people and demons as well to be quiet and not to tell anyone when he heals them. And he keeps speaking in parables that people don't always understand. And it's not only here in Mark, all through the Old Testament, there is a long line of promises which, you know, no one knows how it'll pan out exactly. So, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the disciples, in the feet of the disciples. So much is unknown about what is going on. But soon, it will be crystal clear. Now, apparently when you go deep enough into a cave, anyone, a caver or a, what do you call them? Canyoning, caving. Anyway, when you go deep enough into a cave, if your light or your lamp, your light source goes out, after a few hours you experience visual and auditory hallucinations because of a lack of sensory input. You know, it's kind of in the kind of scenario where you can't see your hand in front of your face even. But, you know, just one little spark of light is all you need. Think about how far a light shines to illuminate the truth in front of you. See, light is powerful. It reveals. It enables. It shows us the way to go. It's such a great image that Jesus picks here. Jesus is saying, guys, I'll let you in on a little secret about the kingdom. It's like a light. Through it, all will be revealed. It's powerful, really. Now, in the New Testament letters, as you read on in the Bible, it talks quite a lot, Paul particularly talks quite a lot about the mystery of God. But Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 9, and Colossians 1, 26, that this mystery has been made known to us in Jesus Christ. See, the point is that it's no longer a mystery. We don't need to wonder how God's kingdom will come about. We've seen it done in Jesus when he dies on the cross for our sins and when he rises to life again. That made crystal clear God's purposes for the world. He is the light of the world. The light that shines in the darkness. And today people continue to take that light, the news of Jesus, to light the darkness of many places around the world and through it grow God's kingdom, like Samuel Marsden, whose legacy is still felt in New Zealand and here at St. John's today as well. Which brings us to the next parable. As the light shines out, the kingdom grows. Have a look at verses 26 to 28. 26, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Like the parable of the sower a little bit earlier on in this chapter, Jesus here is again the sower of the seed. But the meaning here is a little bit different. In this story, once the seed is sown, it doesn't matter what happens after that, whether the farmer is sleeping or whether the farmer is awake, the kingdom just grows all by itself. Once it's planted, it's unstoppable. See, whatever happens, all by itself, the kingdom just keeps growing and growing until harvest. Now, you know, in that parable that we just read there, the farmer, he doesn't contribute much, does it? But it just grows. But actually, there have been many people throughout history who have actively tried to stop the kingdom from growing. By torture, ridicule, isolation, death, persecution, things like that. See, the early church suffered enormously. And there was this guy called Tertullian, and he coined this famous phrase, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It just captures how, as they tried to stop it, as they tried to stop the kingdom, it just kept growing. Nothing can dent it. See, things can look deceiving. We might look back here in Parramatta and think, oh man, nothing's happening. Wow, we're just the minority here. People are hostile to us. No. Nothing stops the kingom. and it's growing throughout the world. Any attempt to stop it might look trendy or clever or convincing, but they are just like toothpicks in front of a freight train. Well, the optimism continues in verse 30 and the next parable. Verse 30, again, Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds of the air can perch in its shade." Jesus here again asks, how can we illustrate the kingdom of God? What can I tell you about the kingdom? And here we have a picture of a kingdom that has grown into dominance like a large, impressive tree, and it grows from just the smallest, seemingly insignificant little seed. And you think about here in Mark, right? There's only a few people here. There's just Jesus and a handful of his disciples. It's a small group, but it will grow. Have optimism, Jesus says, because he has promised that what is small will become like a massive tree, or a place where all people and nations can come and find shelter and rest. See, sometimes kingdom work, sometimes the gospel can seem so small and so insignificant, but it contains something bigger that will fill the whole earth. So there you go. Three little secrets about the kingdom in these three parables. All will be revealed. Nothing will stop it. It will be huge. Wow. Now, for the disciples, this is a timely reminder. There's so much confusion about Jesus' ministry. See, on the one hand, people, they just can't get enough of him. The crowds flock to him. But then on the other hand, people think that he's evil, and his family, his own biological family, they want to restrain him and sedate him. Now, I'm sure the disciples are sitting there, they're stretched as they're watching this play out, going, what have we signed up for? But Jesus is saying, now here's the inside story. Don't worry about all that. We will win. The kingdom of God wins. Timely reminder for the disciples. And I reckon we need to hear the same message. Do you feel like here at St. John's we are winning? Do you feel like we are part of something huge? You know, I feel at times that we're just a little pretty building that's getting swallowed up by a proposed 90-story building over here and a soon-to-come state-of-the-art light rail system and a brand-new university campus that's about to be built over here. And development is just out of control. Just stick your head out the door. See, Parramatta, now that is a kingdom. A fast-growing, exciting place to live where people come from all countries around the world to share in the land of plenty, land of opportunities. And it's deceiving, isn't it? It seems like the ultimate reality. And you know what? I love this city. I ask my wife, I tell her all the time that I never want to move from this place. But it's not the ultimate reality. And let's be very clear about this. One day, every single person in Parramatta is going to know that. When Jesus comes back, they are going to see God's kingdom as the biggest, greatest reality. But for many, it'll be too late. And we have this inside knowledge so that we can live for the kingdom, so that we can get others to do the same. Or, alternatively, you can live for the city that despite its glory, it will end, it will fade, it will disappoint. Which one are you living for? There's a tension there, isn't there? And this tension actually comes from the passage too. And Jesus has something to say about it. He says, hey, you know this kingdom stuff, it's real and you need to be serious about it. Have a look at verse 24. This is actually a parable that we skipped over. It's the fourth parable here. We skipped over it. But 24. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is about the ways people respond to the light, how they respond to hearing the kingdom proclaimed. You know, he's saying, yeah, the kingdom is awesome, and then, boom, a jab in the guts, and don't you be complacent about it. Listen. Soak it up. Everything hinges on how you respond to God's revelation in Jesus. See, lots of people, I know there's people here today even that think that they are in the kingdom because they have Christian friends or family, or they were, you know, brought up Church of England or something like that. That's not the criteria for the kingdom. No, you have to hear what God has to say. You need to trust that Jesus has died for your forgiveness. You see, people hear it, they hear the words, but they don't hear it. And if you persist like that, then it gets taken away. They're not really in the kingdom at all. But there's a contrast here as well, isn't there? For those who do hear it and don't take it for granted, that do trust in Jesus and what he has done, they don't hide the light, they will be given more and more and more and more and more. Friends, that's you. Two responses to the kingdom. Which one are you? One leads to a place in the unstoppable, massive kingdom of light. One is outside it. Well, this idea of God judging some to be in and some to be out is again seen at the end of the growing seed parable in verse 29. It says, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. See, there'll be a time when, just like a field of growing crops, there's going to be a harvest. It will have grown and grown and grown, and then it'll be time. But what is this harvest that Jesus is talking about? Well, it's the day that's coming when Jesus will sit as judge over the whole world. And on that day, God will gather all people and make a decision on them. He will divide people into two groups. Either they are in the kingdom or they are not. See, parables are powerful because they ask, are you in or are you out? What kingdom are you living for? Where does most of your money go? Does it go to Westfield or to the Samuel Marsden MTS fund? What about your time? To the Eels Stadium and football, or meeting together with brothers and sisters in Christ? What do you love? Being a foodie, being heaps cultural, being heaps educated? Or do you love being with Jesus and part of his cause? Which one is it? The unstoppable, massive kingdom of light? Or the hustle and bustle of a temporary empire? Friends, live for the kingdom. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we do thank you for your kingdom. We thank you that you have welcomed us into your kingdom because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And Father, we know that one day all people will know just how mighty your kingdom is. And Father, pray that you would give us an urgency to tell other people about your kingdom. And Father, as we live in it, please help us to live kingdom lives, to prioritize the things that you would prioritize. And through it, that many people might know of the love of Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.